I'm happy to be here tonight, and I apologize again for being late. Since I have been evangelizing, I have been late two times, one Wednesday night and one tonight. And I hate to be late. That's fine, thank you. I like to be on time, but because of circumstances, we were not able to be here precisely like I would have liked to have been. But nevertheless, we're here, the Lord's here, and we're having a good time tonight. Amen. If we could turn our Bibles to Mark the 5th chapter, I'd like to get right into the Word of God. If it's all right, I will let my wife sing tomorrow morning and tomorrow night. I appreciate her being with me tonight. She wasn't with me Wednesday night, but I'm glad she's with me tonight. I feel like I'm missing my right arm when she's not around to you know, pick up when I mess up and all of that kind of stuff, you know. You men know how that is when a wife's around. But Mark there said he knows how it is. In Mark the 5th chapter, starting at verse 2, it says, "And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwellings among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces. Neither could any man tame him. And always night and day he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him. And he cried with a loud voice and said, 'What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not.' For he said unto him, 'Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit.' And he asked him, 'What is thy name?' And he answered, saying, 'My name is Legion, for we are many.'" And in verse 15 of the same chapter, it says, "And they came to come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion, sitting, clothed, and in his right mind. And they were afraid." And they were afraid. You may be seated in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. I have always heard the cliche or the saying or whatever you would want to call it, rags to riches. How many's ever heard a story of rags to riches, you know? God didn't have anything. He always a bum and boom, he gets an inheritance from somebody or he gets, you know, he gets into some kind of a big business, just boom, you know, he's making a lot of money and he's got... I begin to wonder about that now. I begin to discuss it with my dad and he lived on a skid row as a child and he told me about the rag man who would come around once, maybe twice a week, had a little basket or a bass cart, you know, like they push around in the grocery store, and he would scream to the windows, "The rag man's here, rags, the rag man's here," you know, and everybody, all the women who had scrubbed all the dishes and cleaned all the windows and wiped all the runny noses and all of these things, then they would throw their old rags out to the rag man. Well, now the rag man would take these rags home and he would wash them and he would clean them up and he would mend them back together and then he would sell them, you know, just not a first quality, but you know, he would just make them look so nice that he could get some riches off of those old rags. You know, those quilts that, you know, they're selling for like $150 or $200, those handmade quilts. You know, they don't go to the material store and say, "I want so many yards of this quilt material." You know what they use on those things? Rags. Just rags. And they piece them all together. And they come up with a big, beautiful quilt that sells for a lot of money. But you see, he says that our life is like filthy rags. And when we came to God, our life was good for nothing. We had nothing. We were nothing but filthy rags in the gutters until Jesus came along and put us in the bath cart and took us off and he washed us in the waters of baptism. He filled us with the Holy Ghost. He mended our life back together and he made us from rags, and now we've got a promise of riches on the other side. Some sweet day. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Rags to riches. I'm not going to preach about rags to riches tonight. That's just a neat little story I like to tell because that's just what Jesus is all about. I want to preach tonight from a victim to a victor. From a victim to a victor. If there's anything the devil wants to do, he wants to make us a victim. I said he wants to make us a victim. I said he wants to make us a victim. He wants to tie us down. He wants to bind us. He wants to put the chains. He wants to put the fetters. He wants to do these things to keep us from living the way we ought to live. Hallelujah. We see the man's name was Legion, for he was possessed with many devils. Oh, a terrible sight he was. He was bound by all types of evil spirits. Living in the graveyard, living in the cemetery. He slept in the tombs. He was just a wild man. Had no doubt the long, shaggy, matted hair and filthy, dirty. And, oh, every time they would get him bound and finally get some clothes on him, he would break the chains and break the fetters, and he would run back into the tombs, tearing the clothes from his body, screaming and yelling and cutting himself, making all types of fierce, and loud, angry noises in the wild of the night. But you see, this man was nothing more, nothing less. He was simply a victim to the devil. The devil had gotten a hold of this man's life and had totally just abused it, misused it, and done all types of terrible things to it. And oh, what a terrible sight it was to walk through the cemetery or walk by the graveyard and you see the man in such a terrible, pitiful state of mind. But you see, somewhere along the line, he'd heard about Jesus. Somewhere along the line, he'd heard about Jesus. Somewhere down the road, he'd heard about Jesus. Somewhere in his past life, he had heard about Jesus. For when Jesus stepped off the boat, he ran down the shore, run down the sandy beach, worshiping Jesus. But yet it says there that he said, "Get away from me. I don't want to have anything to do with you. I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not." Now, it seems like he's double personality. Yeah, that's just like the people of the world. You see, deep within, they're screaming out, saying, "I've got to have help. I've got to have help. Jesus, I worship you. I love you. I praise you. You've got to help me." But yet there's something that has victimized that life that is saying, "Hey, I don't want anything to do with Jesus." Why? Because the devil knows that there is a power in the name of Jesus that is greater than the power of the world. I say, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And he has not given us the spirit of fear, but of love, of power, and of a sound mind. And I don't have to fear the things of the devil. I do not have to be a victim to his ways. I do not. Hallelujah. But you see, the people of the world are torn by this and they're torn by that, and they don't know exactly what to do. They're running this way and they're running that way. They're running everywhere trying to find some kind of a help. You see, how long did it take Jesus to say, "Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit"? 3 seconds? 5 seconds? Maybe? Just a few. But in just those few seconds of time, the man Legion was transformed. He was changed. He was made a different person. His life was changed from rags to riches. Why? Because Jesus made him not a victim, but a victor through the power of God. Hallelujah. How many people are walking down this street? How many people walk through your neighborhood? How many people live in the house next door to you who are victimized by nothing less than the powers of evil? And they're really within, they're screaming out, "Somebody lead me to Jesus. Somebody show me the way. Somebody get me out of this." And we walk off saying, "No, there's no help. I want you to know there is a power through the name of Jesus." Hallelujah. 6 months ago, I was in Dawson Springs, Kentucky, preaching. A young man came in after church on Saturday night. Oh, he was in a terrible condition. He was talking of suicide. He was talking of killing his girlfriend and his mother and his sisters. And oh, he was just in a terrible mess. As you watch this man in his wild, devil-possessed eyes, as he would look at you and glare at you and make all manner of fun about the church. But really, when we would settle him down and begin to talk to him, we would say, "Now, what do you want?" He says, "I want help. I want help." But yet there would be that spirit from within that would rise up and begin to mock and make fun. After about an hour of prayer and pleading the blood, he received the Holy Ghost speaking with other tongues. I went back to preach 4 months later, still sitting on the front row, still shouting, still running. And February 14th, he got married to a Holy Ghost-filled, apostolic, tongue-talking young lady. Why? Because he was once a victim. He was once bound. He was once tied. He was once chained with sin. But now he's got victory through the name of Jesus. And he does not have to fear. He does not have to doubt. He does not have to worry. I'm telling you about a God that's real tonight. Hallelujah. From a victim to a victor. It's all through Jesus Christ. It's all through Jesus Christ. In Exodus, the 14th chapter, we find a group of people. Millions of them, they say. Some 3 million possibly. Who were up against it. Didn't know where they was going to go, what they was going to do. How was they going to get out of this mess? Excuse me. They had the mountains on one side. Mountains on another side. The Red Sea in front of them. They can't turn around because Egypt is on their back. They're ready to attack them and ready to destroy them and take them back to captivity any moment. But you see, now for many years now they've been living in this slavery, this captivity. They've been a victim to the Egypt and their ways of living. And they don't want to go back. And they cried and they begin to scream at Moses, "Why'd you get us out here? Why'd you make us think that we were going to get free when you were leading us on a wild chase? You don't know what you're doing." But Moses, although they all felt they were a victim, although they all felt there was no way out, Moses knew better. Oh yes, he did. He went back over behind a stump somewhere, possibly a rock somewhere, and said, "Now, God, you got me into this thing. Now, you get me out of it." We got to put God on the spot sometimes. We got to let Him know we really believe in what He's doing. "Well, Lord, if you think you can, you know, if it's not going to rain tonight, if the weather's going to be all right, if the preacher preaches right, then maybe it'll happen." God, I believe that you're going to do it, and you're going to have to do it. Whatsoever we ask in His name, it shall be done. That's what I'm talking about, being victorious through the name of Jesus. He stepped upon the rock with a rod, and He said, "I want you to see the salvation of the Lord. I want you to see the glory and the power and the victory giving blessings of the Lord." You see, we a lot of times talking about tonight standing on the rock, but the whole time we're standing on the rock, we're holding on for dear life because we're scared to death somebody's going to move the rock. We don't need to be afraid. As long as we're on the rock, then all we've got to do is believe in the name of Jesus, and we don't have to be a victim to the devil, but we can have victory. I say victory through the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. We look at the situation just as they did, and it seems like there's no way out. We look at the people around us who live in their terrible sin-filled lives, and we say there is no hope for them. But I want you to know there is a hope, and the hope is not the hope of this world, but it is a hope that comes from Calvary and is still flowing in hearts and lives today. It is the victory-giving hope of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. 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 I'm not talking about being a victim. We don't have to be. We don't have to let the devil attack us. We don't have to let the devil destroy us. We don't have to let the devil abuse us and misuse our lives. Why? Because we have got the name of Jesus Christ. We shall overcome. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You see, as these some 3 million people received victory that day, it wasn't because of who they were, what they had. No, they've been living in bondage for years now. God knew they were the children of Israel. God knew how many of them there were. He knew what they had. He knew what they looked like. He knew all of these things, but that didn't matter. What mattered to Him was that somebody made up in their mind, "I am not going to be a victim. I'm not going to be bound. I'm not going to be chained. I'm not going to be living the life that the world wants me to live all of my life." You see, the world wants you to live that way. The world wants you to sin. The devil wants you to do things that are not right. The devil wants you to live in ways you shouldn't live. But somebody, somewhere, sometime has got to stand up and say, "I refuse to let the devil push me around because I've got victory through the name of Jesus." Through the name of Jesus. Oh yeah, we run here for victory, and we run there for victory, and we run somewhere else for victory. When you want to know where victory is, it's right down on some old pony knees, down in an altar prayer, calling on the name of Jesus, saying, "I need the victory." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's victory. There's victory. There's victory. As young people, the devil likes to get us down. He likes to bind us. He likes to tie us. He likes to make us feel like if you don't act like so-and-so, you're out of it. If you don't dress like so-and-so, you're out of it. If you don't try to sing like this one and dress like that one and act like somebody else and talk like somebody else and try to be somebody else, you're not in. I don't have to go for that stuff. I don't have to fall for that stuff because I'm somebody. As long as I've got the name of Jesus Christ. That's right. That's right. I don't have to try to be like anybody else. Just Jesus. Just Jesus. And as long as I strive and work and pray and seek God and try to be like Him, that's what's going to give me the victory. That's what's going to give me power. That's what's going to give me strength to overcome. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Not what we've got. Not what we can't have. Not what we look like. Not because of our size as the number of people that we have here. But it's when somebody, like old Brother Moses, gets back and says, "Now, God, you are a victory-giving God. You're not a God to bind. You're not a God to tie us down, to keep us from doing what you want us to do. Now, Lord, it's your will for us to get to Canaan land. Now, let's go. Let's get the moving." We feel like we're beating against the walls. We're trying to make it to heaven. We're trying to get to glory. We're trying to be able to see Jesus someday. And we've got mountains on this side. And we've got mountains on this side. And we've got a great big deep problem right in front of us. And the devil's on our back. What are we going to do? Don't turn around and let the devil victimize you. Don't go back to that way of life. But go on through the problem. Go on through the situation. Go on through the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If there's anything the devil would like to do, he would like to build up our problems and make it look like, now you're back in a corner. Now you've got to do it my way. Now you've got to be what I want you to be. Now you've got to do what I want you to do. But I say no, because through the name of Jesus, I can fight my way out of any corner. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I've got a power. There's a song that says, I've got power that you can't see. For God is living inside of me. Oh yes, the devil would look at me as just a 6 foot, 155, 60 pound young man. But there's something that is within me that the devil cannot see. It is the power of the Holy Ghost. For the warfare that we fight is not flesh and blood, but it is powers, it is principalities, it is things of the darkness. And we've got to have a power within to defeat those things of the devil. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There is no circumstances too big for God. There is no problem too deep for God. There is no mountain too high for God. Oh yes, we look at it just like the ten that came back from the land of Canaan and said, "Moses, there's no way. We're grasshoppers in their sight." Joshua and Caleb came back and said, "There is a way." How's that? They said, "That situation, that circumstance, that problem is too big for us." Through our eyes, it is. But who's the grasshopper in God's eye? Huh? Who's the grasshopper in God's eye? It's not me. It's the Goliath. It's those over there in the land that we're trying to overtake. It's those over there that are trying to destroy us. You see, they're the grasshoppers. They're the weaklings. For I've got a power within me that gives me the ability and the availability to power to give me victory. I don't have to be a victim. I don't have to be his legion. I don't have to live the kind of lives they live. I don't have to, oh, what a terrible life he lived. And there are people living his kind of life in the world today. They're screaming. No, Brother Rutledge, and I haven't understood it. Just about the time winter comes along, we get clothes on some of these people. Summer comes along, and tear them all off again. Isn't that just like Legion? Just about the time we get some clothes on them, they tear them all off again. But you see, the people in the world are so bound. They're so tired. They're trying to outdo one another. They're trying to outdress one another. They're trying to be something that they're really not. Why? Because the devil has bound them. He's made them a victim. He has tied them to a way of living that they really don't desire. They're a prisoner. But there's a man here tonight with the key to the prison. Oh, Yes, He is. He's here tonight, and He's got the power. He's got the ability to unlock every situation, to undo every problem, to give us victory over every thing that comes our way. It's all in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. It's all in the name of Jesus. And there are lives here tonight who need the Holy Ghost, who need to be baptized in Jesus' name, who need to find the power that is invested in the name of Jesus. But you see, I can see it. Others can see it. They're bound by a power from below. It is the powers of hell. Because the devil doesn't want them to find it. The devil doesn't want them to have the Holy Ghost. But let me tell you, if you're tired, if you're bound, if you're made a victim to the things that are around you, and you really can't get the kind of life that you desire, my God makes the impossible possible. The unthinkable thinkable. The unseeable seeable. The undoable doable. If that's a word, doable. He can make you do it when there seems to be no way. Why? Because greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. Amen. Greater is He is in me than he that is in the world. Greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. And there is no reason why any one person should have to leave this place tonight without that very power. There is no reason why anyone... God is living inside of me. Hallelujah. Jesus is here tonight. He's moving. He's walking up and down the aisles. He's wanting to touch hearts and lives. But He's not going to do anything until you let Him. Huh? He's not going to do anything until you let Him. He's not going to come busting down your prison doors. He's not going to loose you. He's not going to free you from the things that attack you until you say, Lord, I'm ready. I'm willing. I've never seen God do it yet. Drag somebody down the altar, slap their head back, jerk the tongue out, and say, speak in tongues. I don't know why. I've just never seen it. I think I do know why, too. Because He just don't do it that way. It takes two. He'll do the work if you'll let Him. He'll do the work if you'll let Him. He'll give you victory. He'll give you power. He'll give you the ability to overcome sin if you'll let Him. Hallelujah. As we all stand tonight. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. No doubt there are hearts and lives who stand in this congregation tonight who would look me going to this altar. No way. Jesus is here tonight. He's ready to walk down that aisle with you. He's ready to kneel at an altar of prayer with you. He's ready to give you a new life if you'll make the first step.